So, I'm deeply sorry to bother you with such a nasty topic as boring business document formats. So, this is the occasion to take a short nap. I'll try to rush through. There is this nice English saying, a Word document is worth 1,000 words. So let's start with demo. I have here a small directory. There are four pictures I need. There is the script, there are the slides I'm showing, and there is a docx I need in the demo. Let's run the script. Now it is generated. You see docx. Yes? Let's look at this docx document. Yep. Okay. Well, I have created it with a title. You can open it with LibreOffice. Most of the time it also works with Windows 2010, 2016, Windows 365. So you see, if you look close, you see I already have set some things. The basic fonts, the default fonts are smaller. I made them larger that you can see something. Well, but this is a bit boring, I think. Let's go. Let's go to yes. Text formatting. You see, you have all kind of effects for text. You can have colored text, bold text, striped text, italic text, whatever. All that stuff you know from Word. You have all kind of underlining stuff. You can change the font size between the text. You have background color, superscript, subscript. You can combine these and such things. Well, but there is much more to formatting. But before digression, page setup. Pages, white or nice, are freely configurable. So are the page margins. This example shows this. This is a landscape format, but really broad margins on the left and on the right. This is just to show the paragraph formatting things a bit better. You can have sections inside your documents with different page settings. This is the concept of Word, to have sections. So you start with some page settings, then you start a new section with other page settings. You can have borderlines and such things defined for the sections or so. Well, back from that digression to paragraph formatting, you see a paragraph. There are such features as paragraph indentation. Starting line of a paragraph is indented by some special rule. And here in this, the first paragraph is both aligned, both sides aligned. You have all the possible ways. This is left aligned, center. The bold words are the keywords used for the align options. So this is not the correct language centering, what is known, and this is end aligned. So, okay, back to normal page setup. What we have here is probably not really will see if you have a look at the top line below. You see there are top marks in this paragraph. There are tabs defined for this paragraph. You can see them here. If we go out of this paragraph, they disappear. There's my cursor. Yeah, they disappear. Now I go back to the paragraph and they are back again. You can set the top lines. You can have comments. These comments, different author, different time, can connect, have comments. Maybe comments are not so, maybe comments are important really. If you generate documents in your application for your users, you can mark with a comment, this is the place you have to fill in the individual stuff for the document or something else. You have things like links. They actually work with the typical link. They actually work. Believe me, they do. The hand can have mail to links, and other stuff. I think I have destroyed my document with some. Yeah, I have destroyed my document. Okay. Okay. So I've restored it. You have a text frame. Such a frame is a paragraph not put in the text flow, but at a special place to have some headlines and margins or something else. Also, let's go further. You can have headers and footers in your document. This is a new section. This new section has new settings. This new section has the headers and footers set, and they are filled. These page numbers are not hard-coded, of course, but are so-called fields. Word or the standard calls them field, and they get updated automatically by the word processor, so to the right numbers or so. So you can change that header and footer for every section. You can have different section, different header and footer for the first page, for even page and for odd pages. If you want, and they are actually, so this page is only there to see the odd page header in this case. If you see, this was on the right, the other on the left, if it is usable in printing things so that you have the numbers there. This is also that. One note is that you have kind of mini pages. Header and footer are kind of mini pages. All the formatting stuff you can do within the text, you can also do in the header or footer. You can even have images or tables or whatever else in your header and footer texts or so. So now back with that and with that header and footer thing, also I added that section and started a new section. Of course, you need listings. You have two kinds of listings, bullet points listings and numbered listings. The first listing style is actually imported from that other .x document you maybe remember in the test directory. The second, obviously different listing style, it is numbered and other style, is built from scratch, defined from scratch. You can have all kind of different numbering styles. So the sub numbering style in the second listing is the so-called Chicago style. So with asterisks and this triads and double cross or something else.
Okay.
But this is... You have, of course, images, always interesting. People want images. Images are in word processing now in two flowers, inlined, as shown in the first paragraph. Inlined means the image is like another glyph, just as a character, put at that place in the text where you put that inline image definition. Or they are anchored. Anchored means they are placed at a special point on the page. You can give that in measurements, say 3 centimeters from the top and 2 centimeters from the left, or you can it give relatively to the page. So in the half of the page, and in the middle of the page or something else, there are different ways to specify the anchor of the page. Normally, at least in most cases I know, people want to wrap text around your images, so this is the option I used. This isn't a must. If you want to have your image overwritten by the text, for some special things, maybe you need a watermark also and do this with an image. So you can say there is no wrapping around the image, but the image text is just goes just over the image. Yeah, sorry, it's boring. It's coming more. Tables. Tables. People love tables. Yeah, especially folks in the office love tables. So you need to provide tables. Tables can be complex beasts. In most cases, they are not so complex. So for this, I created a simple table method, which in its core expects just a list of lists. And this list of lists is laid out as you see in a simple way. Perhaps it's a bit oversimplified. What it makes to a simple table is that every cell content, every single cell content, is styled and formatted a uniform way. This doesn't mean that you can't style the table. This is the same simple table, but just given styling to the table at all. So in this case, we have a special styling for the first column, for the first row. And by the way, we have table borders, of course, load every such thing. So. But as it is in life, sometimes simple things are not enough. Sometimes you need complex tables. This is possible, but you have to write more code to achieve a complex table. Complex table means you have different styles inside the cell. Here, this is a cell with 2 paragraphs and under different formatting inside one cell. Here this is text and combined another table in one cell. Here you have left, right, left, centered text. Here you have an image in the table and the table cell spans over 3 cells or so. One more thing. I noticed shortly this text frames feature. Text frames are just a single paragraph. This is helpful. They are easy used. This is helpful for simple things. But sometimes you need more complex things. And more complex things are text boxes. A text box is as images, freely anchored on the page, And you can fill it with complex content. So all kind of stuff is doable with that things. So you can have, of course, the general settings. The general phone settings here for the document are changed by me that you can read the text better also. Okay. That much to the demo. I, in fact, have prepared some slides. No. A DOCX document is just a chip archive. You see a simple example here on the right. It has a certain directory structure. The files have to have the right names. The names as shown here, sometimes a little bit strange. This is perhaps not usual file name, but thus you must have this structure, you must have these names. With the exception of media data inserted in the document, all these files are XML documents. It is always, in fact, standardized. There is a standard, especially even two, they are identical. The original standard definition was made by ISIMAR, and ISO took it over, as it happens with other standards. So all you have to do is to create that XML files with the right XML content, have the right names, pack that all together to a FIP, name it with the suffix .docx, and with a bit luck, your LibreOffice or your Word, just open it as a human has written it also. The same basic principle works for XSLX, Excel data. I think some of you already have used OOXML. This is the same basic principle. I do the things internally something bit another way than Alex do his OXML for LibreOffice, but in principle it's the same approach. Okay, this XML format, this XML inside the XML document is called Word Processing ML, Word Processing Markup Language. It is still the default format for MS Word. I think they started with Office 2007. This is the earliest Word version having this document format as standard. And it still works up to MS 365, Office 365. Other tools read that docx format as well. The LibreOffice used here shows this. There are other tools able to open DocX. From my limited experience so far, it turns out that Word is the most picky software of all the softwares reading that format. LibreOffice or other open source tools are much more forgiving. An example is the demo document. Some colleague wrote me yesterday evening, he got an error message, open it with Office 2060 or so. I checked it with, this was the only one I had at hand, with Word 365, the demo document created and shown before opens without any fuss in Word 365, but there seems some detail problem at the moment with Office 2016. I have several example files that are the test beds in the repository, and I more or less regularly check them with the OpenOffice versions I have access to that are not very much. I don't really like to work with Microsoft tools. I hate it to work on Windows. It's, I'm not very well prepared to do this testing. Well, this specification talks about consumers and producers. Word and LibreOffice and other tools are typically both consumers and producers. This library is just a producer. This word processing XML, so one command, reads like a translation of a binary format into XML. This isn't far away from being a well-defined markup language. This is bad. So to show the very, very basics, what you do is, after you have loaded the package, you create a docx object, just with docx new. Then you have to add the content top-down, as you do it in the graphical interface word processor. Then you just write it down. You create a docx document. The basic methods of your objects are paragraph to generate a paragraph, then append, which come to here, appends to a paragraph with other formatting, images, table, text boxes. Well, there are auxiliary methods, so for links and marking a jump place to jump to, then to style, to generate styles, settings for deleting parts, some helper functions to import stylings from another docx or whatever. Harald has already looked at his clock. I try to rush even more. Fine control.
5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay. Then I have really to rush. All these methods have a lot of, sometimes a lot of options. It's always the same thing. You have option value pair. Often the value of an option is not a single value, but has to be a key value pair. I have put some effort into that you get error messages if the option is unknown, with the list of the known options. The values are often enumerations. So if you type something that isn't known, you get the list of possible values. Also, typically, either you have an enumeration, some things, keywords, underline, justify. We had this example, justify, left, right, center, or so, for the alignment. And the other type of values are just measurements. You can give these measurements with units. You can write cm for centimeters, mm for millimeters, pt for points, and it will be automatically calculated in the background for you. Okay, I have 3.5 minutes. Text is edited paragraphs. Headings and listing points are just paragraphs in the view of word processing ML. They are just special formatted. So this is, as I said, not really a markup language with any sense. This is a very, very small example why you need this append. You start the paragraph with some text, and you will have some words in that paragraph with another formatting. So you append text with other formatting settings, and then you fill up the rest or so. Okay. Central is to use style. It's the same advice as you get if you work with word processor tools. There are different kinds of styles, styles for paragraphs, characters, listings, and tables. Listings must be styled with must be styled and formatted with styles. It is advisable that you do this also for text and paragraphs. You can define your styles
from scratch
in your program that creates that .x, and there are already some tools, some helping to import styles from a given .x. So the designer has a .x with copyright identity .x, and to build this by your own with styling commands may be tedious. So it may be much more easier to say, okay, you can import that styling definition in your document from a given document. You don't need even a given document. You can export such styling information from a given document and can, in creating your documents, import that created documents. So what is missing? Footnotes and endnotes. This was missing until my train ride to Bologna. I did it in the train. At the moment you can't have images, custom images as bullet points, but this is a thing. Give me a half a day, then you have this. But this is just kidding. What's really missing is documentation. There is a start of a documentation, but the word processing markup language parts of the standard are roughly 1,500 pages. To duplicate this in the documentation will be a larger thought. Really important point is this thing hasn't any field testing, nothing. This is probably the motivation for my talk here. I'm searching for victims. So somebody say, oh wow, I needed this for years. Then come to me, I will help you, and then we will see how we get out. I have a customer, I talk with them. Maybe I, in fact, will use it by myself in the second half of the year. What also needs is developer information, the developer documentation. It isn't that hard to add things that are currently not there. I think the library itself, as it stands now, has a very clean structure and a lot of helping stuff. Well, if you're interested, look at the last commit. And with that last commit, I implemented endnotes and footnotes. This is not a really big diff. It depends on what is there, and it was, a lot of stuff is there, and so it is easy to up things. The standard is immense, so I really haven't implemented all in this 6 or 7 months of free time programming in the night, so developing documentation would be necessary. You can dream of higher level script markup structures, not do these basic primitives of word processing XML if you are ambitious. Images at the moment have the problem you have always to specify wide and high. Normally you want to keep the aspect ratio, but in Tickle itself we haven't at the moment a way to determine wide and high of a given image. You need a TK tool for that. So at the moment you have simply to specify wide and high for every images. But there is style import. Maybe there is some. Really interesting idea is word processing XML has this effect in the standard. You can have a plugin for, let's say, LibreOffice. So when the designer designs this document and with special markers marks the places where information has to be filled in with a name. So then you can put this template.x, process it, replace the placeholders with the data from the database or somewhere else. And generate the final document with that. This is the template style of generating .x. Two slides, I think. Lessons. Now to the advertising part. The Titum from script feature proved again as very mighty and convenient. Both. It is in the background, almost completely done with this. What I realized at this occasion is that it is not easy to write a well-behaving and nicely behaving script library. This script library, as presented here, has a lot of commands, and that lot of commands has really a lot of options. If the user writing his program makes a mistake in specifying an option or an option value, typically, if you don't do special effort, you get a large stack trace pointing inside your script library if you have not only a method, but the method calls a processor of the options, the option processor calls a special checking function for this type of option, and that detects the error. You get such a stack trace blowing up to the user. This is not his code, he don't understand this code. It would be much nicer. The error just points to the line of code the user has written with the wrong option or the wrong option value. And this is what I have done, but you have to do it, and we don't have much infrastructure for doing that. Things get even worse if you have commands that has arguments that are evaluated. So to define a header, there is a docx header method, expect options, and then expect a script. A script that looks like the docx typical script makes this mini page deals. So you have an evaluation inside. To get a nice error message out of this, well, I didn't find something and I searched long. If somebody knows, please tell me, but not yet. You have, the only way is to pass the error info string. So if you want to put out some steps of internal calling or so that are not important for the user of your script library, I think, and this was one of the lessons here from this experience, we don't have much infrastructure to have well-behaving script libraries also. And then, as a general comment, I want my article even more on this page, so just to drop this sentence in, so maybe at least macros would be a fine enhancement, could have used this at several places. So, thanks.
Well,
this impressive work. The document structure, the archive structure, is different between a Word document created on a Windows machine and a LibreOffice.
No, the document structure is standardized. It's the same structure. You create a Word document on Linux or Windows, and if you unzip that, yes. See the same document structure.
Because we had some experience that the Windows machine, there's like the Mac machine and the LibreOffice, same thing, is the format that you showed, but we found also other formats as well. No chance. Okay.
This is ODP.
No, of course, yeah. No, I'm speaking about docx.
Depending on the content of your document, you have more or less files.
Of course.
Some things are put in separate files. Headers, for every header type, you have a separate header file. For comments, are collected in one comment file, and so there are different files or so. But from my experience and from what the standards say, the document structure and the name of the
files
the same.
Okay, thank you.
A remark rather than a question. In the past, I could use LibreOffice supports also this flat document representation, which is basically the whole folder structure with files, etc., but all squashed out into one file.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I could use, for instance, on OpenACS, we have this little markup extensions to loop over these data structures. And I could do what you were talking about with the templating. So I would build a template with just placeholders, and then fill it up later as if it was a dynamic page.
This is a special export format you can choose in the saved dialog.
Exactly. So one can save as, for instance, for the ODT, it would be FODT. And this is a one file XML representation. There is the whole thing, but all embedded into one file.
But it's another form. It's another standard. It's another.
It's the ODT standard, yes, but all squashed into one file.
Yes. Well, it was hard for me to do docx Word XML, so I would prefer to have only the free format. But for practical use, well, mark dominance is clear. You can do the completely same thing with the ODP format. Mm-hmm. It has the same basic principle.
Then I had to convert, so because FODT can only be open with LibreOffice, then you have to convert it to another format with some the scripts, so this was another challenge.
I remember that Vertical Pro Debugger or Vertical Deathbed Debugger had some code to parse error stacks because it had to elite itself also from error stacks. Yeah. So you might have a look there for something about that.
Okay.
And there's also, I'm not sure if it will be useful, info error stack, which is, I believe, a list of errors. So it is pre-parsed. But it is different from the actual error thing because in the error stack you don't have a command, the argument substitutions.
Yes, and you don't have the line numbers. And that are very important. If you make a header, the header script is there, and you want to say, "Hey user, in the fourth line of your header script, there is the error." This is tremendous helpful information.
Info frame, there's info frame, but that will not help you because info frame tries to find out the information for where it actually is, and the command which through the error usually doesn't. Although if it's your command, then you could do an info frame in the command to see where it was called from.
But do you agree with me that it would be fine for script library writers if we have more fine-grained control about this to have user-friendly error messages?
Just to give also one more example, also NX, the scripting language, the OO variant, has the same problem because you also have some error stack coming from Tinkler, and to give the right message there is the same thing. Mm-hmm. I also implemented some time ago some stack framing. I think it's important to have the. I think it would emphasize.
It's pretty ugly to have such stack frames. The user don't know something about. And I think this is a point. Maybe we should care inside the core. Okay, don't know who was first.
Okay. If it's about the stack, then you go first because I had a different question.
No, to the stack. Maybe you have an own namespace, and you can go up.
It's an object in an own namespace.
You can go up from the stack trace. All times your namespace is before.
You are talking about ways to pass the error info.
Yep.
I would like to not to pass the error infos, but have easier means to build up the user error message.
Okay,
we can discuss techniques to pass the info error, of course, yes, but I think it's a problem that we have to pass the info error.
The typical lazy programmer.
Please speak up.
You're a typical lazy programmer.
Last question.
These are 160 car of ticket code written not by need, just by fun. If you call this lazy, then I don't know. And I think it is a problem. This is a problem that every script library writer has.
Yes.
This problem don't arise if you write a binary extension. In a binary extension, at the error case, you define your error. It's only this error, not all the C stack in between or so.
Yes.
But in Tickle, all the in-between stack is the error message.
Yes.
The Gem interpreter writer noticed this problem and made something different. I don't know exactly the case, but the Gem interpreter messages are more instructive than the Tickle interpreter. Maybe one can
check this out, how we did this.
Yeah, my question is simple. Do I need TK to run? Do I need the TK to run? Graphic user.
Is it pure ticker or do you need TK to?
No. This is ticker only.
Okay.
You cannot use the server
side. I want to run it in Docker container.
Yeah, you can even run it in Docker container. You chat. Well, you can also put TK into the Docker container. You need an frame buffer.
I don't want my container.
But you don't need TK. It's just tickle only.
Okay.
If I had TK in the picture, I could have done the image scaling by myself just with one value, as mentioned. Also, so this is server ready.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Some small suggestion. You could also revert to external comments, such as the identify comment from ImageMagick to retrieve information.
Yeah, this is platform specific. You need, with external tools, you can of course get your image.
Okay. Thanks all. He has also announced that TDOM was modified for some points to get support. Was not for that, no?
Two or three smaller modifications to make the code much cleaner, much easier. I love clean and easy code, quite often small code. But if you want to run this, you need the most recent TDOM, this is true.
So as usual, if Rolf touches something, you can expect highest speed, highest quality. So thanks for all your work.
Yes.